We thought it'd be great to share a little bit with you a dialogue between Brent and I and all of you, because, you know, for the last few weeks we've had a box out on the info center with a big question mark on it. And our hope was that by this time it would be filled with questions. And we would just pull them out of the box, and go for it. We got two. Two.
Nobody asked questions.
No, and we're going to talk about why only two in just a moment. Okay?
Yeah. But
I think we should pray.
That's
what do you think?
Yeah,
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today and we give you thanks and praise for who you are, Lord. And we thank you that we have this time to come and worship you. This morning it's about you, giving you glory and praise in all that we think, do, and say, and who we are. Lord, we ask that our hearts be open so that your words may flow through us now, so that we leave this place different than when we walked in. Because if we don't, we haven't experienced you. We haven't had the change that you so desire in us to become the people you truly created us to be. So, Lord, we ask now that your Spirit fill this place, fill us with your words, your love, and the transformation that comes from drawing close to you. In your name we pray. Amen. What were the questions?
What are the questions? Well, this is something we did last summer. And for us, it was kind of fun because, you know, the majority of the way that we plan our sermons is we try to figure out, okay, so what's the Lord saying? What do we perceive to be the needs, the wants, the desires of the congregation, and how do we merge those two in the context of a sermon series? You know, we'll say, okay, well, we haven't talked about this in a while, so let's do a sermon series on this, and then we pray it through and try to figure it out. Well, it's kind of fun to hear what is on your minds, you know, because sometimes we get it right. You know, anytime you open the Word and preach from it, it's a beautiful thing, and I believe that. The other side of that is that there are moments when maybe we preach on something that doesn't connect. And so this is an opportunity for us to kind of put our fingers on the pulse of the congregation and figure out, okay, well, where are y'all at? What questions do you have? Because believe it or not, having questions is okay. Having questions is normal. It's human. This whole faith thing is really sometimes kind of hard.
Brent, having questions is good.
Yes.
And it's needed. Our faith, our knowledge, our understanding, our experience of God needs to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. To be honest, two questions makes me really sad. Really sad. Because what that says to me is that we're just flatlined. Mm-hmm. That we aren't questioning. Every once in a while, I'll turn to Brent during the week and I'll say, do you really believe all this stuff we're talking about? You know, am I really supposed to say that? I went to seminary. I did this. But do you really believe this? Yeah. And then we hash it out. Mm-hmm. Questions are good. If that box isn't filled with questions by August 25th,
We'll start asking our kids.
The box down to the kids because they have kids. You know that thing about faith like a child that Jesus says? You know what that's about? Have you ever known a three-year-old that says, why, how? That's what Jesus is talking about.
I have a 13-year-old that says that.
Have faith like a child. You know, we're going to talk a little bit today about theology. Oh, my goodness, there's a word. And sometimes it frightens us because we think it's a big academic word. But you know what? We are all believers in this room. Therefore, we are all theologians. Because a theologian is one who studies and tries to gain a better understanding of God and his plan for all of us. So just like we are the priesthood of all believers, guess what, gang? We are all theologians. Now, granted, there's always going to be, you know, the theologians like Martin Luther or Dallas Willard. My favorite right now is N.T. Wright. I've been reading him like crazy. Bonhoeffer, theologians. These were academic individuals that really studied. That was their passion, their personality. That was the way God wired them. But you and I need to be theologians as well. Theology is faith thinking. And theology is not stagnant. It is not flatlined. Over the years, theology, just like any other science, grows. With the discovery of archaeology, with analysis of original languages that are enhanced by computer programs, with academic study continuing to advance, theology changes. The understanding of Jesus and the cross and our salvation and what he did does not change. But our understanding needs to continue to grow. Our theology is fluid. You know, we get all the head knowledge. And I, you know, if you've been in class with me, you know I love head knowledge. I love to read books. I love to share that with you. But if that head knowledge, as the saying goes, doesn't reach down to the heart and change our lives, change our behavior, change our way of thinking, it's just space filler as far as I'm concerned. It does nothing.
Right.
If the knowledge that we gain through study, through experience, because we are experiential learners as well, God created us in his image. He likes his experiences, to have experiences to draw us closer to him. If it doesn't lead to questioning, to thinking, I think we've lost it, Brent. I really do, and it makes me sad. Asking questions leads to faith thinking. Faith thinking leads to trust.
Yep.
Trust in what the Word says, trust in the promises that God has told us, trust in the church fathers, you know, the doctrines and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, trust in that. Faith thinking leads to trust, and trust is so important in any relationship, is it not? You think of the closest relationship that you have with a friend, a coworker, a spouse, a child. What is foundational? It's trust. And faith thinking leads to trust.
Right. And I think maybe at the outset of this, it's okay to have questions. To question things about your faith doesn't mean that you don't have faith. As a matter of fact, for me, it's those seasons of questioning when I really start to hammer through things and you wrestle with God on what it is that the Word says, what it is that you feel like he's saying to you, why things in your life seem fair, unfair, whatever. It's those seasons that I think we grow the most from, you know, and maybe we are afraid to admit our questions. Maybe we're afraid that if we actually admit that we have doubts or we wonder things sometimes that maybe, you know, maybe our salvation is in question, maybe we're not good enough, whatever. But the truth of the matter is we wound up where we are with our understanding of God because we were willing to ask those questions. And this is something that I've always told classes that I teach. I don't ever want people to believe something just because I say it's true. You know, I would much rather have somebody push and push and push asking those questions until they come to a place where they're convinced it's true because they've either followed it to its end or they've come to a place where they realize, and there's a few of these moments for me where it's like, okay, I don't have a good answer for that one. But everything else that I know, everything else I've studied and learned and experienced of you, God, leads me to believe that even though I don't understand this thing, you are real, you are true, and those questions may have to rest until I stand before you, and then you'll clear it all up.
That's trust.
Yeah, that's trust. And so at the outset then, understand that as humans, I think we are created with minds that kind of wrestle through some of these things. Blind faith is an okay thing too, but it's not a bad thing to ask questions. And in that then, I think we get a clearer sense of who God is and how it is that he works within the context of humanity, something wholly other, yet something so intimate that we have the opportunity to experience it on a daily basis. So our questions for today, we had basically what amounted to four questions. They all kind of centered around God's plan. Does God have a plan for us? Let's go back two slides. Boiled down, does the idea that we as humans have free will affect God's plan for us, for humanity as a whole? How do we reconcile God's plan with our plan? Because sometimes they're different. Okay, mine was. What about the roadblocks that God seems to place in our path with regard to his plan and to ours? So what Tina and I was thinking this morning, we should have just videotaped. We got together Thursday, and after about 3 hours of talking in my office, we had it all figured out. I wish we had videoed it. We could have just played the thing and been done to you, but that's not how it worked out. What we believe, and I think I can say we believe, is that God has a big picture plan for humanity, for the world, for the whole of creation. And that is to redeem and to reconcile all things to himself.
Let's read Ephesians.
Okay, let's read Ephesians. Where's that at? Let me find that.
Ephesians 1.
It's in your bulletin. You can follow along if you'd like.
10. It's in your bulletin. Follow along. Get out your Bible. This is God's plan. And we have made it way too difficult.
Yep. Here it is. In him, we have redemption. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. That's beautiful. That he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head.
Can I unpack
even
that
Christ.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, please do.
You know, I love this. Here's the plan. This is it. If anybody ever asks you, what's God's plan? To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Christ. That's the plan. You know, we've made following Jesus all about our ticket to heaven. I'm sorry to inform us all, that is not what it's all about. It's a nice thing that we're going to go to heaven. It's great that we have an afterlife, but that's not what a relationship and what God's plan is about. This to bring all things into heaven on earth together. In other words, that's the reconcile. That's the redeeming of all creation. Those trees out there, the animals, the everything. Humanity to reconcile and redeem all to himself. And it began with Jesus' resurrection when the kingdom of God broke in. The kingdom of God broke in when Jesus was raised from the dead. And we got a glimpse of what it's going to be like. We got these transformed bodies, yeah, but we can, you know, they're different. Jesus' body after his resurrection was different than it was before he died. He could pop into this place and pop into that room. And so Jesus, his resurrection and life then gave us this glimpse of what the kingdom of God will look like when it reaches its fullness. So we live in a time right now of the already. It's already begun, began on that day that Jesus was raised from the dead, but not yet, because we're still at work. And why God chose us to work with him to reconcile and redeem, that's going to be my first question. Because, you know, he could have got it done a lot sooner if he just left us out of the equation,
right?
Because we just seem to mess things up.
Mm-hmm. True.
He has this love for us to reconcile everything, to bring everything back into the right relationship with him, that he chose you and I to be part of his plan.
And I think what we do as people, we want the plan to be about us. You know, when we ultimately, I think what's behind the questions is, what does God want for me? And the truth of Scripture, the overarching story, is that the plan is about God.
It's all about God. You know, we ask this, what's my purpose? What has God gifted me to do? Mm-hmm. No, we are asking the wrong questions. What is God's purpose? And how has God wired me to be an instrument to work within his plan?
Right. Now, let me add to that. You know, we went back and forth on this a little bit because depending on where you shake out.
You mean we don't agree?
Not always.
No, we don't.
Theologically.
And that's okay. We don't.
There's different understandings of how God works in relation to humanity. Some people believe God is really hands off. Some people believe that God is intimately involved. Down to, you know, what kind of cereal you ate this morning. You know, I read a really great article, and it really framed the idea of God's plan for me, and it was just a few weeks back, because I've been asking some of these same questions myself. God, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want for me? You know, how can I best be obedient to your call to serve you by serving your church? Is it here? Is it somewhere else? God, what do you want from me? And you know, just let me throw that out there too, that I'm restless by nature. you know, when I start to settle into something, I kind of start getting uncomfortable, and I start wondering, well, what's next? What's next? What's gonna happen next? And I read this article by a kid who actually is a student at Bethel, and I usually don't read these sorts of things, but in the midst of that day, I clicked on the link, and he told a story about a classmate who would pray every morning before breakfast, God, what kind of cereal do you want me to eat? And if he said Cap'n Crunch, it was Cap'n Crunch. If it was Wheaties, it was Wheaties. All right? And his classmate thought, that's pretty amazing, and my faith isn't nearly as deep as his. If he's praying what kind of cereal he should eat, the guy who's writing is kind of like, I don't really ask God those sorts of questions. And I've never been one to ascribe to the idea that God really cares what kind of cereal I eat. I mean, if it's totally bad for me, maybe he has a hand in it, but who knows? But the big picture of the article was, you know, he was in the midst of a life transition, and he felt like he couldn't move until God said, this is where I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. His understanding of the plan was that it was going to be super specific for him. And in a conversation with another pastor, telling the story about the cereal, the writer, said to this guy over dinner, he said, you know, I feel like God's calling me to something, but I'm waiting for that specific word, and I just don't know. And this pastor starts to laugh. And he says, do you really believe that God is going to be that specific with you? And you know, the writer's like, well, I did until you started to laugh. And the gist of what this article talked about was that within God's plan for us, even as individuals, there might be freedom. There's freedom for us to choose within that plan.
Because he loves us.
Yeah, because God loves us so much, he gives us the ability to say, all right, it could be Zion. It could be a church in Colorado. I'm praying for that. I'm not really. But if I'm doing what it is that God wants, if I'm fulfilling God's plan and being obedient to that call, then if it's Des Moines, if it's somewhere else, as long as I'm being obedient, I'm fulfilling ultimately what is God's plan is for me. And that is to be part of the redeeming and the reconciling of all things. And then we have two more scriptures that talk a little bit more about that. Micah 6:8 and Mark 12.
Go to
Micah 6:8.
Yeah,
yes,
because
ma'am.
You know what? While I was reading, you know, getting ready last night at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Micah 6, so how do we redeem and reconcile all things to God? How do we fit into God's plan? Micah 6:8, plain and simple, it's in your bulletin too, tells us. Let's take a look at it.
Here's what it says. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What is the Lord's plan for his people? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Well, it's not easy, but it is pretty easy. We want, you know, I want God to say, Brent, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to do it. This is what it's going to look like. And all God says is, you know what? Act justly. Do the right thing.
If you're a school teacher, act justly. Mm-hmm. Walk humbly. Love mercy.
Right.
If you're a sanitation worker, walk justly. Love mercy.
I know.
Act justly. Walk with humility. Whatever you are, mm-hmm. whatever profession, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, if you're a baker, whatever, mm-hmm. this is the how that we work with God to reconcile and redeem creation.
Right. And it feels funny, honestly, to sit up here believing that I'm called to do this job, believing that, you know, this is what God wants for me. But big picture, what God really wants is for me to love other people and to love him first. That's God's plan for me. How I live that out might change over the course of my lifetime. There could come a moment when I realize, okay, that whole pastor thing, that was fun. It was good, but there's something else I'm called to do. Or it could be that y'all are stuck with me until I retire, which might be a long time from now. But
I go first.
You get to go first, right? but the truth of it is, we want God's plan to be specific, and I think that is the nature of our faith. We want God to give us a checklist.
That's because we want to be in control.
It's all about control.
It's all about control.
We want to be
in control of the plan. We want to know step by step how the plan works, and guess what? We are not privy to that.
Right, and because we want the plan to be about us.
About us.
And not about God first. Jesus frames it again in Mark 12. Somebody comes and says, I'll just read it, starting in verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus says, this is the most important one. The most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Now, I like that because at the end of the day, part of our wondering about God's plan is, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we doing what God wants us to do? And what I would argue, what Jesus says is, if you love God more than everything else, and if you love each other the way that Christ loves you, you're square in the middle of God's plan for you. And like Tina said, you could be a teacher, you could be a principal, you could be a pastor, you could be a sanitation worker. But if you're doing that, if you're loving God first and you're loving other people, and you're doing those two things to the best of your ability to give Christ glory and to not make it about yourself, that's God's plan for us.
Okay, so I make a choice. I make a decision.
And there's a caveat. Go ahead.
Okay, I decide, nope, don't want to do that. I really don't like my neighbor. I really, it drives me crazy. That dog is barking at 3 a.m. Not going to love that my neighbor at all. They look different, smell different, sound different, eat different food, don't like anything about them. Am I going to derail God's plan?
No.
No.
That's what we came to.
Does my choice to follow God's plan, to walk humbly, act justly, to love God and serve my neighbor, if I choose not to, because I can, God is not a puppet master. He did not create us that way. If I choose not to, is that going to derail the plan? And we came up with a
no.
No.
It was beautiful because it was one of those moments where it's like, okay, there's the answer. No. God's plan will be achieved and accomplished regardless of what it is that we do. Scripture is littered with stories of people who God sent on a mission. They tried to derail God's plan, and God's plan was achieved and accomplished regardless. You talked about Abraham and Sarah.
Abraham and Sarah, prime example. God chooses Abram to begin this mission of forming a nation that will shine God's light to the world. And boy, Abraham and Sarah aren't even out of the gate, and they're already trying to mess it up and take control of it. But does that stop the plan from going forward? Does that stop the plan from being achieved? And it is finally achieved in Jesus. The plan that we see comes to the reconciliation and the redeeming in Jesus. But you got Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He leads me. Psalm 25, what is that one? Or whatever.
Which 23, we would like that because it says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake.
His namesake, not my namesake. He guides me for his namesake.
25 says, show me your paths, O Lord, teach me your paths.
Your paths.
Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day.
Your truth. Your, not Tina's, not Brent's.
Right.
Yours.
What I would offer, the Proverbs 16 says this, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. What I think is God's plan is going to come to fruition regardless of us, through us or in spite of us sometimes, okay? We have an idea of how things are going. My plan was to be a forest ranger, right? I've told that story before. I fully intended to go live in the woods somewhere and watch for fires, That's what I wanted to do from the time I was little. And through an all-night wrestling match, Bible in one hand, backpack or magazine in the other, God finally pinned me down and said, no, this is what you're going to do. And for me, that was an obedience moment. I had planned my course, and but God directed my steps otherwise.
Did you experience a roadblock?
Did I experience
a
roadblock?
What about roadblocks? What about the no's?
Guardrails.
What about when the door is shut? What about it's dark? What about all the bad stuff?
What I would say about that, can I back up just a second?
Sure.
Because I want to talk about free will and God's plan. What I would say is that our choosing does affect our experience of God's plan, if that makes sense. God's plan will come to pass regardless, because he's God and he's going to do what he wants to do. That's the truth, okay? Whether we like it or not, God will not be thwarted in accomplishing his purposes. Our experience of that is, I believe, impacted and influenced by our choosing, okay? Maybe that's where the roadblock thing comes in. We may think, like my you know, single-minded focus, I was going to take kids hiking for a living for the rest of my life. God said, no, I'm going to steer you this direction. Has that become part of what I've been able to do here at Zion? Yeah. It's pretty amazing how your passions, the things that you love and the things you appreciate, can factor into God's plan, but it wasn't exactly what I think God had in mind. Now, and it sounds like I'm saying two different things when I really listen to that, because do we believe that God has specific plans for us? Yeah, I think sometimes. That's the beauty of God. I believe he has a big picture plan. I also believe he does guide and direct our paths. You know, I could be a pastor, I could be a forest ranger. Both might be equally good, but one is going to accomplish his purposes maybe a little more effectively than the other. Did he steer me down this path? Yeah, I think he did. Do I believe that he is as specific as to say, this is what I want you to eat today? No, I don't. I think the big picture plan, there's freedom in there to say, like I said before, what are you good at? What are you wired up to do?
You're having Captain Crunch today.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm not making any sense.
No. The roadblocks.
We talked about roadblocks.
That was one of the questions that was in the box. Are the roadblocks that God puts in our way, what about those? Well, I think it really depends on your paradigm of thinking. Is a roadblock put in the road to keep you safe or to frustrate you? You know, I live near Grand and 63rd, and if that bridge doesn't hurry up and get finished, I'm going to be, you know. But yeah, so there's roadblocks for me. I cannot go over my bridge to go on Grand up 63rd, or what, Grand Avenue into Des Moines. And yet, if I just said, the heck with the roadblocks, drove right through it, I'd fall and get killed.
Yeah,
so that roadblock is for my protection. That roadblock is put there because God loves me so much that he doesn't want me to go off the edge of the road. So if I look at those things in my life, and yes, they are not pleasant. They are often, there's discomfort to them. They don't seem right. They don't jive. But, you know, I think sometimes those roadblocks that God puts in our lives actually can be, and I believe God does use them, to draw us closer to him so that our faith continues to think and that our trust in God continues to grow.
Maybe not roadblocks, but more like guardrails. That's how I think of it. You know, there's things that God will maybe put, you know, he'll close a door. He'll steer us a different direction for our own good. And I think the discomfort comes because sometimes, many times, God's plan doesn't exactly square with what we had planned. And it's not comfortable. Or God doesn't work in our time frame. That's the one for me. God, would you just tell me what you want? And it's not how he works. You know, wait. Be patient. I got this. And you know that, you know, maybe in conclusion, Tina, because we're getting
the
communion.
Going. We could talk for the whole rest of the day. Wouldn't that be just fun?
No. the thing for me is this, and this is a lesson that I've been learning so much over the course of the last weeks and over the course of the last summer. I may not know what the plan is. I know the big picture plan. I may not know the specifics of how that will come to fruition in my life today, tomorrow, next week. But I can say with confidence that I have a clear sense that God has got this.
You're trusting God.
Yeah, it's that trust piece. It doesn't mean that I have all my questions answered, but it believes that it means that I believe that he is big enough, that his plan is good, and that even though I don't know the details, he's got this in his hands. And that's what I hear. That's what I feel. Don't worry so much. Trust me. I have this. this morning, you know, as I was sitting in the dark getting ready to come to church. And this was the verse of the day, and it says, it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." God's plan for us, big picture, is to bring all things together, to reunite creation, to reunite His people.
To bring back the garden.
Yeah, to bring us back to the place where we walk with Him and we don't worry about whether we're good enough or not or whether we're fulfilling the plan, because we're with Him and that's what we're supposed to be. It's what we're supposed to do in the first place.
We can experience, I think, that garden now by doing those things that we talked about, you know, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with God, loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, those are all the hows of how we make kingdom living right now, how we work to bring the plan together with God now. We make it too hard.
Yeah, to answer the question, if we can, I think, how do we reconcile God's plan and our plan? If we are achieving God's big picture plan, you know, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly, love God, love each other. If we are achieving those purposes and the things that we do, I believe that we can move with confidence that, yeah, we are within the confines of what God has planned for His people, what God wants for us as a group, as individuals. The living out of that is really, you know, I think God gives us some freedom in that to figure out, well, how am I going to live that out in a way that I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm enjoying on some level what I'm doing. Doesn't mean you're always going to like your job, but I think, you know, if you're happy doing what you're doing, it makes it a lot easier to fulfill those purposes. And I think we can have confidence that, you know what, maybe God gives us the ability to make some choices within those, believing also that He will put those guardrails up at times, maybe for our protection, to keep us from making choices that would lead us on a path that would take us outside of His plan. He has the ability to see it beginning to end, where we just think, man, that trail through the woods looks really great. Let's just go down that one. And you know what? He says, no. There's a bear waiting at that one. You don't get eaten. So don't go down that path.
So here's what we'd love. We want that box. And it's out there on the little information center, little half moon circle dealy. And there's a little paper and pencil there. We want it filled with questions.
Yep.
Because we're going to be back in 2 weeks. And
you just told them when. Now they aren't going to be here.
Oh, yeah, they will. Because this is so fun. Isn't it fun? It's nice and long, but it's fun. And we want questions so we can have forums, so we can know what we're thinking about. Remember, each one of us is a theologian.
Yep.
You are all theologians. And your faith it should be thinking. Thinking all the time.
Yep. Asking questions
is faith. Asking questions
is
good.
And that forms our theology, our understanding of who God is. And that's a good and that's a righteous thing to be doing.
It is.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Go on to communion.
Hey, last thing I want to say about this is that if we flood the box with questions and we don't get to them all on 2 Sundays from now, what we will do is we will maybe do a forum like this once in a while as part of an add-on education thing, Sundays or Wednesdays, where we can get together and we can ask questions. And it's even more fun when we have the ability to just throw questions out on the fly. You know, so if that's something that that is appealing, flood the box, and we'll make that happen throughout the year. It's good for us. I enjoy.